Another day, another dollar, another dream fallen through the cracks of reality. Another episode of Joy in Life brought to you by the makers of Strings R Us. It's yet another guitar talk with John and Jamie.
It's going to be one of those.
It is. This is John.
This is Jamie.
And it's going to be one of those.
Yeah.
It's late here. It's late. We're going to be honest with our listenership. Yeah. Is that such a word, listenership?
It is now.
Yeah. And Jamie and I are working musicians who are tired.
Yeah.
Tired, but not too tired to miss the potential opportunity to be together and record a fantastic episode of
Guitar Talk
with
Jamie and John.
That's right. To quote the Bogmas. Yeah. Anyway, tonight we decided we wanted to talk about ruts, being stuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you do when, you know, you're not feeling as creative as you would, or you've kind of used up your arsenal of whatever new thing you've learned, and you're playing the same old thing every night? And, you know, from a creative standpoint, how do you, you know, find ways to, you know, shift gears? Is that you know, for pretty much where we are?
Yeah.
Gear shifting.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a Ford GT, you know.
And I'm a Rambler.
A Rambler? You're a Dodge Rambler?
Yeah. Or a Ford. Who made Ramblers?
Dodge.
Was that Dodge?
I'm a
Ford Comet.
I'm curious. What is your actual dream car? I'm just curious. Like, if you had a dream car.
Oh, God, I don't know. I'm so not a car guy.
But, like, any car you could have. Any car in the world.
You know, like a 65 Mustang, 57 Chevy, you know.
Like a Shelby or something? Like
that'd be cool, yeah. Spider,
you know. Okay, so you like the old vintage stuff.
Yeah.
See, I would go with either, like, a new Tesla. Yeah. Like, the new Tesla. Like, a fully electric. Or I go with a Ford GT.
Yeah.
Or a Maserati, like a Quattroporto.
Yeah.
You know, something sexy. Or, you know, James Bond's about to come out, an Aston Martin. Am I rambling?
James Bond was in the closet?
James Bond was in the closet this whole time.
Who knew?
So this, folks, is how one actually gets out of a rut. By actually diverting where you think you are to a place that has nothing to do with it and finding new things. What do you think of that?
Yeah. I mean, it's all come about because I'm feeling very uninspired. I actually have to go and play after this.
You have a gig tonight.
I have a gig tonight.
But Jimmy, you and I have known each other now how many years? 20 some odd years. And we've both gone through periods where, you know, it's inspired, uninspired, ruts, no ruts, and it's like cycles. I mean, at this point we have to see it as cycles, yes?
Yeah. I mean, I had an instructor a long time ago who would always say that when you're feeling like you're in a rut, that's actually the period where you're actually sort of playing at your peak, because you kind of grow, you know, you climb, you go uphill, and when you're actually learning and inputting new data and acquiring new things, that's actually when you're sort of, you feel like you're, those are the times when you feel like you're in a rut and you're not really making any progress. And then you plateau off. And then the times when you plateau are the times when you really feel like, oh, man, I'm playing great. But those are actually the times when you're not really doing anything new or learning anything new.
Mick Kudrick said the same thing.
Did he?
Yep,
okay. He did. Maybe that's where this guy stole it.
And, you know, and he actually, in that book that he did,
Advancing Guitar.
Advanced Guitar. Yeah. He has a whole chapter about that. Yeah. Actually, one of my favorite chapters in guitar techniques is, he says, he has a thing in there called the importance of silence, and he has two blank pages in the middle of the book, which I thought was a really great thing to have.
That's the John Cage chapter.
But he used to say that what you're supposed to do when you're feeling like you're in a rut, put your guitar down, go listen to music that you like, go to a movie, go for a walk, go in nature, let it go, because it will pass. And the truth is, we both know that it will pass, because it always has. Because otherwise, if we'd been in a rut this whole time, you and I would be working at Burger King and talking a whole different conversation, because this would be Burger King talk.
It's actually where I'm going to work tonight.
You're going to work at Burger King?
Working the swing shift at the drive-thru.
That is incorrect. You're playing at the Mint tonight with Griffin Labs and all sorts of wonderful musicians from LA. Yeah. And the point is, I've also seen you, this is just me being objective, I've seen you on many nights where you've said to me, oh man, I'm in a rut. And I've looked at you and went, what? Because your playing that night was actually pretty stellar. So there's two sides to this that I see. Okay, one is that I think internally we have conversations that are always assessing what we're doing, and we can get very self critical. And there's a point where we're, you know, as players, in order to advance, we have to be able to honestly critique our own playing, which I agree with. And then there's the school of self-flagellation, of which you and I are charter members.
And I'm not touching that one.
I'm just saying. And, you know, there's a certain point where we can be a little brutal on ourselves about the way we play, which, and I think is, and I actually think that's actually fairly common amongst guitar players.
Yeah, everyone that I know is like that.
Yeah.
They think they, I mean, all of the, I'm not putting myself in the company of all the great players I know, but all the great players I know all do this thing where they, I suck, you know.
I met Michael Brecker outside the Beacon Theater in New York, right? Yeah. I was working at the Beacon Theater. He was playing there with, I don't know, Chick Corea, I think, one night. And he was sitting outside, and I don't think he was smoking, but he was doing something. He was chilling outside, and I had to go up and say something because, you know, you have to. Mm-hmm. And I went up, and I started talking to him, and he was about the nicest human being you could be. And then he started being self-deprecating in a way that was shocking. Like, you know, I wasn't having a good night, and I'm just not playing that well, and I'm in a rut. And I looked at him, and I thought to myself, here is probably one of the world's, if not the greatest saxophone player in the world, probably considered one of the greatest improvisers in the world since John Coltrane. And I just heard what I thought was a stellar night. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, he was just, I mean, he plays all these incredible ideas and phrases and timing and sound. And he was going, yeah, man, I really suck tonight. I got nothing going on. And I just thought to myself, that seems odd.
My friend Cliff Allman, great drummer, lives in New York. He played on my record, actually. He met him. Well, I think he might have actually gotten to play with him, got to work
really?
With him.
Wow, point. That's exciting.
And, you know, was like, oh, my God, you're like my favorite musician ever, blah, 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 blah. And Michael Brecker's response was, I rush.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I rush.
Yeah, but you know what? If I would have finished the sentence, yeah, but in the best possible way. In the best
way. But perfectly every time. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's a hard thing. I mean, it's easy to recognize when you feel like you're in a rut and you're uninspired and don't feel like playing for whatever the reason is. You know, the reasons that you don't feel like playing could be completely non-musical. It could just be because, you know, I'm just tired. You know, I've been with my kids all day. I had to work this second job you're not feeling it, you know, and
but then usually you always step up. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, you do step up.
Well, you try, you know, and you try and play through it, and then you kind of reach, you kind of break through to this zone where it's like, okay, I'm back in the game here. But, you know, an overall rut that kind of that lasts a period of days or weeks or whatever, you know. Ted Green told me once, he's like, you know, you could do things like, you know, detune your guitar, drop your guitar down a half step or a whole step, just play the same things that you normally would play. But now they're going to sound different, and they're going to sound, you know, that right there will take you off in a different direction. It could be that one little thing.
He told me to do random open tunings, actually.
Yeah.
Random open tunings where you don't know the fingerboard anymore.
Right.
And then all of a sudden you're having to rely on your ear and your imagination.
Yeah.
You know, and then being able to kind of go to that place, which is where we started in the first place, and exploring and looking for yourself. You know, there's an interesting question that comes up for me, which is that, you know, if we're cycling and we're you know, trying to improve, and we're trying to get these places, and we're not kind to ourselves, you know, during the parts where we're not feeling as great about things, mm-hmm. that it seems not to be self-serving, that there's a compassion aspect for me that comes up, is like, I'm thinking to myself these days, you know, I went through a period, actually probably the last 3 years, where I did two records with the Zen Blues Quartet, right? Mm-hmm. And I just hurt my neck, and so I wasn't able to really feel my hand very well. And I think I played the worst I've ever played in the entire time I've been playing. Mm-hmm. And I was really self-critical because I went through this thing where I was so uncomfortable about playing. And then the more I relaxed, the more I kind of gave up, the more the inspiration came back. And then the more I let go, it's kind of like almost like a Zen thing. Yeah. It's like the more I'm not thinking about it, the more I'm reconnecting and enjoying it. And then I can find inspiration in better places because I'm being kind to myself. And in a certain way, I would think that music is an uplifting thing. I mean, we've talked about this, dedicating our lives to something that really doesn't quite make sense. It should bring joy, I would think, to ourselves. And the inspiration thing is, I find inspiration when you and I play together. I do. I find inspiration every time you and I play together.
Well, I get inspired when I'm playing with musicians that are better than me, you know.
Well, then you must really feel really miserable with me all the time.
I mean, they offer something that I don't have, you know. And it could be on their respective instrument or on my own instrument, you know, and playing with a great drummer, playing with another, like playing with you, it's like I love the harmony thing that you bring to the table. It's like there's this whole harmonic palette that you have that you've really learned how to apply in a way that's, to me, completely unique. And you know, and that gives me ideas to do what I want to do. And then,
you know, that's the nicest compliment you can give a musician, right?
Well, it's true.
To say to someone that it's something that, and I'm not self-flagellating, I'm not being self-deprecating. I don't think it's totally unique because it's all Ted stuff that I've sort of bastardized. But the point is that when you say to somebody, like when I listen to you play, and this is not a kiss-ass session, guys, just whoever's listening, like the eight of you who are listening to the show, we're actually, you know, we're pretty honest with each other about each other's playing, but it's like I get inspiration because this is one of the things that I committed to. I'm 51 years old, is that I don't want to sit across the stage or the session or the glass booth or whatever it is from somebody who I don't like. And so for me, inspiration is that not only are you a good player, but you're my friend and we enjoy each other's company, whether we're arguing or not. It's this thing about, and that's what I think that's important about the conversation of music. Mm-hmm. And I think that sometimes, you know, the lack of inspiration can come because we're also working musicians where we're having to do these gigs that are challenging and it is late at night and we're tired. And, you know, how do you call up that energy when you're not, you know, when you're tired or when you're broke or when you're, you know, you want to feed your kid and it's like, oh man, I'm going to go do another $75 gig or whatever it is. But the truth is, again, there's two sides. Music for you and I is a calling that we aren't going to walk away from. It's just not. So how do you find compassion for yourself and inspiration? It's not just finding a trick to get out of it. Although I do think the thing you were talking about is, you know, dropping the tunings and...
Well, there's little things you can do, like in the, you know, when you're practicing to help you, like, hey, this is cool, this is great, and you can kind of break through. But just to have that carry through onto the bandstand, you know, like Monday nights when I do this gig at the Baked Potato, there have been plenty of those nights where I just like, oh man, I'm just not feeling, I'm tired, I'm not into it. You know, I take my son to school, I got to get up at 6 a.m. and then yeah. I didn't get a chance to lay down at all during the day. And I'm,
but you always shine. I mean, you do always shine.
But I attribute that to getting there. And then I'm on stage with, you know, John Ziegler, who's always just, you know,
shout out to John right now. Shout out.
I've given a shout out.
Shout out to John Ziegler.
But, you know, he steps up playing with him. And then every week we have these different great drummers. So it's right. Like I could be on the stage with like Chris Coleman or Danny Carey or Joel Taylor. And it's like, how can, or Joe Travers or any number of great, how can you not be like lifted up by players of that caliber? And then it's like, you know, and before I know it, within a few minutes, I'm just feeling like all that fatigue is just gone.
That's what the gift. That's one of the gifts of music. Oscar Peterson, in his biography, wrote this amazing thing. He said, "Now this is a guy. Yeah, think about this. This is a guy who gigged 3 to 325 nights a year for like 60 years. Like this was a guy who played every night. Mm-hmm. And he said that if he had one good night in like 30, one good night in 30, he thought that was successful.
Yeah."
You know, I mean that, and he wasn't just self-critical. He was like, for what the level of what he wanted to express, the control that he wanted to do it. Now, I've heard Oscar Peterson play a gazillion times on recordings. I've gone to see him live twice. And I'll be honest and say, I've never heard him have a stellar evening. But from his point of view.
Yeah, I understand that from an artist perspective, that's, there were plenty of times, you know, when I was touring with Zappa, Play Zappa, that you'd get out there and you'd be playing these incredibly difficult shows that were long.
Your shows were like 3 hours, weren't they?
Well, sometimes they were. In the first year or two we were touring, they were...
And very complicated.
Sometimes
music.
Exceed 3 hours, you know. But you have these shows, and then you walk off stage, and you kind of have, in your mind, cataloged every mistake that happened during the show, everything that, like, every part that I missed, every time I fell off the tracks, and, you know, and... you know, it's just like, it just wasn't a good show. There was one time in, I think it was in Austin, Texas, we were playing there. And we had a film crew there filming it. And it actually did get documented. I don't think, it was never released. I don't know that anything will ever happen with this footage. But I remember that feeling like that might have been one of the worst shows that up to that point. And I think this was around 2007 or 8 when we did this. This might have been one of the worst shows up to that point that we had ever played.
Okay.
And then a couple months later, we were off the road and we were over at the studio over at Dweezil's place. And we were watching some of the footage. And I was like, God, man, we sound amazing. this is the best band in the world. You know?
Wow.
So, you know, it just goes to show you when you're in
the filter, when
you're in the middle of it. It's one thing, but then when you've had a chance to step away from it and kind of look at it.
So is that a question? Is that a real question? What's the filter? Because I think so you know my background in Zen and meditation and Buddhism, and I think that there's a really interesting concept here about what we do when we're in different states of mind that reflect back through the instrument that we're playing, right? Mm-hmm. Like our instrument is a very strong mirror for how we're thinking and feeling. And what comes back may or may not be true. Mm-hmm. And that the part, maybe part of the practice of long-term musicianship and inspiration is the willingness to say, you know, right now it's like this. That's a very famous Zen saying. Right now it's like this. It's an acknowledgement mm-hmm. that the past has happened, that the present is the way it is, and that the future is going to change. Right now it's like this. And, you know, there's a compassion element for me that comes up because it's like, I know after 40 years of playing that I'm going to come out of a rut. And I know it because I just had a 2-year rut. Right. So I can say with fairly good faith that it's going to come out. So the question I'd like to ask people who are listening is to say, where are your ruts? What kind of ruts do you have? What do you do?
What do you do?
Yeah. What do you do when you're in a rut and how do you shift out of it? We're really interested. You know, I do the thing that Ted told me, which is I do random tunings and look for chords. I'll do I actually have this book of the Bach unaccompanied partitas. And for violin, and I'll try and read through them because they're almost impossible. So, I mean, they're really, really hard. And especially for me as a guitar player, I'm not a super technical guy. And so I just do it really slowly just to get the melodies and the movement under my fingers and to hear something totally different than what I normally play. And Jamie, you?
I will do any number of things. Sometimes I'll just try learning some new tunes. I'll, you know, take a solo by one of my favorite players. It's always stuck in my mind and I'll try and figure it out real slowly. Mm-hmm. I'll just do something different. I'll just try and like break the cycle and just try and do something different than what I've been doing. I'll slow down and sometimes I'll just stop playing.
Yeah.
And stop playing. Take a couple days off.
Yeah. Stop playing and go for a walk. That's one of my favorites is I'll stop playing, go to the movies or go for a walk in nature or do something that's completely. And that's again, actually in the Zen tradition, that's considered really like actually normal. Yeah. Like when you get to a point where in the study of the koan or the practice where you're just sort of overwhelmed by it, you pause and you kind of just go out and you recharge, you refresh, you connect with the thing, you know, that sort of inspired you in the first place, which was, you know, the newness of it, the freshness of it. So this has been, we started off with a slightly snarky attitude and actually I'm awake now and I feel better because I had a great conversation talking about guitar with my friend Jamie.
I'm even more sleepy.
You're even more sleeping? Yeah. Good. Well, then it's a trade.
Yeah.
But this has been another wonderful, exciting episode of Guitar Talk with John and Jamie. We're really happy that you were here listening with us. We love your feedback. We love your input. Please, if you go to the iTunes page, please write reviews, even if you don't like us. Just write what you think, you know, but just put 5 stars. I don't care what you write. Just bump mark 5 stars. And, you know, join us here at Guitar Talk. Let us hear your thoughts. Any final words?
That's it.
That's it?
Good night.
Good night. You want the last word today?
No.
You won't? Are you sure?
Positive.
You can have it. Austin. What's your cat's name?
Austin.
Yeah. Austin can have the last word.
He may he might on the carpet here.
Because we're just...